Blog Talk Radio.
Truth Train. I'm so excited to have you join us here today for today's show, and I've been looking forward to this. Two of my favorite people, Judy Pursley-Spady, who is a Liberty activist here locally in Colorado and is very well known, and Richard Fry, who is general counsel for the Patriot Coalition, have teamed together and basically put together a website, www.defendnotamend.com, where they defend the Constitution rather than seeing that it's amended. And I think that's a good idea. Once we start amending the Constitution, that's a slippery slope. I'm not sure we really want to go down. So it looks like Richard's already calling in. I'm going to bring him in. Richard, is that you?
Yes, Lisa, it sure is. Thanks for having me on.
Gosh, it's great to hear from you again, Richard. How have you been?
Oh, pretty good. You know, keeping up the fight, but doing pretty good other than that.
Yeah. So tell me about this venture between you and Judy and how it came to be.
Well, you know, I've been working with Judy for a couple years. She's a state director of the Patriot Coalition, and we are both, of course, we're really concerned about this ongoing ConCon movement and just decided that what we needed to do is to set up a mechanism so that that those people that were going to oppose this Article 5 convention movement had some place to go to coordinate their efforts and coordinate information and sort of get a little synergy among the patriots that were against it. And, I mean, she's the brainchild behind it. She actually set it up, and she's done a fabulous job with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was taking a look at the website, and Seems like it's got quite a bit of information on there for anyone who's interested in looking at this in the context. So again, that website, if you want to learn more, is www.defendnotamend.com. Defendnotamend.com. And so, and how did the two of you meet?
Well, I don't know. I'm not even sure how I met Judy. Well, I am too. I met her down in Houston, Texas. I was flown down there for a interstate compact meeting. There was some people were trying to put some stuff together on an interstate compact on health care to try to avoid Obamacare, and we met down there. She had been flown down there as well as part of the of this program. You know, another case of some big moneyed interest were trying to move things around. I made a determination that it was actually unconstitutional what they were trying to do. But that's how we met. And it was very clear that Judy was a very sincere and informed patriot, and our relationship kind of grew from that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So explain your position versus, you know, the opposing position, and you know, in brief generalities.
Okay, well, it's pretty simple. Let me tell you, I think part of what they're trying to do is they try to make it complicated to confuse people, and I'll get into that a little bit later on too. But basically, what we say is that they have picked the wrong solution for the wrong problem. And the problem that they've identified is that our federal officials are no longer following the Constitution, and therefore we need to rewrite the Constitution. That's their solution to solve that problem. And number one, that's not the that's not really the root problem. You have to ask yourself, you know, why are the politicians not following the Constitution? And the reason that they're not following the Constitution is because we're not making them follow the Constitution. So the root problem is the ignorance, laziness of the American people themselves that has to be dealt with. And I mean, it's just nuts. If the Constitution's not the problem, how is amending it the solution?
Right, right, absolutely. Well, I think that if we actually followed the Constitution, you know, it would be a completely different world that we were living in. You know, I myself am fighting against, you know, the unconstitutional state laws here on foreclosure here in Colorado, where they basically allowed for non-judicial foreclosures, which eliminates all due process, which is guaranteed us through the Constitution. And what's sickening is the Attorney General of Colorado just came out on another case a couple days ago and supported the constitutionality of the law. I'm like, how in the world could the Attorney General, the purported defender of the people, support an unconstitutional law in saying that it's constitutional when it's clearly not? I mean, one of the things he quoted in this was that typically, you know, whatever the state law is generally accepted. In other words, like, it's already the law, so just accept it. It's good.
Well, I mean, we have a real fundamental problem because our politicians, you know, they don't follow their oath to protect the Constitution. They don't even understand the Constitution, and part of when they take that oath, implicit in that is that they have a working knowledge of the Constitution. And if you talk to them, and I've talked to federal legislators, I've talked to state legislators, and the vast majority of them have no idea what they're doing. They don't understand the scope of their oath. They don't. It's a ministerial act to them. And you know, when the oaths were originally taken back in the days of the founders, what that meant was you said, you know, in essence, what you said by taking the oath was, God, if I do not fulfill my duties, seek retribution on me. If I don't uphold my responsibility, seek retribution on me. And the founders believed that. They believed in God. They had the fear and respect for God. And that's what kept us honest. And that's what John Adams and Franklin and some of the rest of them said, you know, about the Constitution was meant for a moral people, people that had fear and respect for God. And they don't anymore. They don't fear God. They don't fear the people. They do what they want. I mean, the fundamental principle of our republic, as expressed in the Declaration of Independence, is the government was supposed to be a servant of the people, and its primary, perhaps its only real responsibility, was to secure, protect our interests. But what do we see now? We see a government that wants to protect us, and the only way to protect someone is to take away their liberty. And so, you know, that's why you have NSA violating the liberty of 320 million people by spying on them. I mean, it's nuts. That's why we have the NDAA that declared the United States to be a battle zone. They're going to protect us, and it's just a pretext for control. That's all it is.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm so glad to hear you say that. That's exactly how I believe. Looks like Judy's on with us. Judy, you there?
Yep, I'm here, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Just listening in to what you guys are talking about here.
So what are your thoughts on the Constitution and its basically not being upheld nowadays, and what you and Richard are doing together, and the motivation for that?
Well, that's a long-winded answer to that, but I just wanted to, you know, I guess here's what I think. I think that anybody who is suggesting that they should be amending the Constitution should have at least a 98% voting record of upholding the Constitution and or a very good representation that they have a thorough knowledge of the founding era. And unfortunately, we don't have that today in our state legislatures, federal, local levels, nothing. I mean, we don't have a group of people who understand the Constitution. There's many people who say they do, and I'm learning about it every day. I'm fascinated with learning about it. And it's not just as simple as, you know, reading the Constitution. You have to understand the founding era. You have to read the letters that were written back and forth from the founders and understand the dichotomies that happened at the time and understand that it was a great debate at our time. I mean, everybody wants to kind of lump the founders together and say, oh, the founding fathers said this. Well, they rarely agreed at the time, and, you know, nobody's going to agree now. But mostly, as Richard has said, we, the people, are to blame. We are the ones at fault. We are the ones who have, over centuries, have not, you know, demanded and held people's feet to the fire to sticking to the Constitution. And that's at the local level and the state level as well. So it's crazy to even think that state legislators are going to go to bat for us in reining in the federal government when they're part of the problem to begin with. I mean, the states are what has allowed Obamacare to happen and things like Common Core and you know, many issues that weren't forced upon the states. The states gladly signed up to it. Why? Because they don't understand their oath that they took to uphold it.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I like that defend, not amend. I mean, I also like, you know, if you're going to amend the Constitution, then show a track record of at least upholding what's there in the first place. Let's not go and talk about changing something that you really don't know about and haven't implemented yourself. So,
well, and Lisa, one thing that's really curious about this, if you get these guys that are promoting this to be honest with you, and it's just a matter of common sense, but if you get them to be honest with you, they'll tell you what we're telling you. I've got a recording, I think it's up on the website, of the Kansas State Director of the Convention of States. And I was taping him. He's doing a presentation in front of a local GOP group. And a guy asked him in the audience, says, well, President Obama doesn't follow the Constitution now. Why would he follow a new Constitution? And the state director said, well, that's a good question, and we're going to have to deal with that whether we do this or not. So he's saying, yeah, you're right. We're going to have to figure out how to enforce the Constitution, whether we amend it or not. Well, and I agree with that. And if that's the case, we don't need to amend it. We need to address the real problem, and that is the people. The people need to get off their can as part of it. And one thing that I've done here in Kansas, I am now promoting vigorously constitutional changes to our state constitution to allow for the citizens to have initiative referendum and the right of recall, which we don't, because with those tools, we can put back, maybe not the fear of God, but we can put back the fear of the people into these politicians, and we can fulfill our moral and our patriotic duty to hold them accountable, because we can kick their butts out of office just like you guys did in Colorado. And I'm recommending that we use the Colorado recall laws for the Kansas to model our Kansas recall laws after. And by gosh, that'll solve the problem. That's a long way to solve the problem.
And I just want to add, there's so many better answers. Like, we constantly hear people who on the side of the Convention of the States, it's almost like they went through a bunch of trainings. And, I mean, you can tell when you're talking to anybody on Facebook or email or at a radio show or whatever. I mean, you can tell that they are trained to say to the opposition, you know, oh, they, you know, the opposition has no answers. Well, we do have answers, and not that I have the silver bullet answer, not that Richard does, not that anybody does, but I do know that it's our responsibility and it's our duty, and we're the ones that are to blame for all of this mess. And so if we can do things like recalls or, you know, revitalizing the Second Amendment, which you guys have had on your show before too, Lisa, you know, there are many other better answers. What I see with this push for Article 5 convention is it's a wild goose chase. And Mark Meckler of Tea Party Patriots, and when Richard said earlier how we met, he's absolutely right that we met in Houston. It was a Tea Party Patriots convention that they flew us down to. I was the state coordinator for Colorado for Tea Party Patriots at the time, and I didn't know who Richard was, and they flew all of us down there for the healthcare compact discussion. And like you said, they spent tons of money flying us down there, putting us up in a nice hotel, food paid for, you know, for several days, whatever. And finally, there's a few of us that it kind of hit, like, wait a minute, you know, I thought this was a grassroots organization, you know, or that's how I felt. And anyhow, so I've worked with Mark Meckler before, and I understand exactly what they do. They get people going off on these other tangents and these wild goose chases that actually have no results. And then it just keeps us out of fighting the real battles, like recalls, like what Richard just mentioned, and, you know, some of the other real battles.
Yeah, well, I almost feel that sort of thing can be purposeful, you know, that there can be what's called controlled opposition, where you create opposition, you know, to something that's going on that needs to be changed or amended, but you make it confused or vague or ineffective, and so it keeps people spinning in circles and nothing gets done and everything stays the same. So, yeah, I mean, well, you know, it could be innocent, but it could also be controlled.
And then they have like Tea Party Patriots was basically set up as an operative organization from its beginning. I mean, a lot of us have had patriot organizations for, you know, several years. I worked for Patriot Coalition. It's been going for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years maybe. And I can tell you what, we don't have a lot of money. We have very little money, and most of the money that we have comes out of our own pockets. But you have Tea Party Patriots, they're going for like a year, and all of a sudden they have millions and millions of dollars. You know, and Meckler's new organization, not even a year old, and it's a wealthy organization. Well, where do you think that money's coming from? It's coming from foundations and big corporate feed interests, which is another issue that we need to talk about, too, on this, because some people think this is a kind of a new development, this promoting of an Article 5. This has been going on. It started in the 1960s when the Ford Foundation funded two NGOs, two non-governmental agencies, or organizations. One of them was the Fund for the Republic. The other was the Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions. And it paid them basically about $40 million to rewrite the Constitution and promote an Article 5 to try to incorporate that Constitution. and they paid, they set up as the head of that project a man by the name of Rex Tugwell, who was a Columbia professor, an economics professor, a liberal, who was the head of FDR's New Deal Brain Trust. So he had plenty of experience writing legislation and implementing legislation whose purpose was to modify society and our government. And that's what he set out to do. He had spent a number of years in Russia studying the Russian system and liked the Russian system. He didn't like the capitalism. And so he came back over here, worked with Roosevelt, and was involved in this. And his whole idea was to set up regional governance and to undermine the system that we had. And the Constitution that he came up with, one of the key components was to abolish the states and set up federal regional districts that would, of course, be subordinate to the Constitution. And they promoted that. They finished their work. It took about 10 years, and they published that in 73, 74. 73 was the year that ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, came into being. Some people think it was probably formed for this purpose as well. But they started promoting it. Initially, they promoted it, and they actually had Nelson Rockefeller, Senate president, was pushing legislation to have an open convention. And, you know, the people kind of figured out what was going on and put it down. And so about 10 years later, they came back, and they were then promoting a limited convention. And, of course, I mean, you can't really limit it, but that's what they promote. They want to address the concerns of the people to sneak it in on them. And we know that at that point there was a conversation that was going on between retired Chief Justice Burger, who had retired from the U.S. Supreme Court to be the chairman of the the Constitution Bicentennial Committee. And these folks approached him with their idea of a convention and this new constitution. And he wrote Phyllis Schlafly, who had started Eagle Forum, and he made the comment. He said, you know, I don't completely understand what these professors, he said, quote unquote professors, are really wanting to do. But one thing is they certainly want to abolish the states and set up regional systems. So we have a direct tie from the 1960s Tugwell Constitution up to the 1986-88 period, where they were still promoting that same nonsense. And then they came back, and it was a kind of a liberal-leaning organization that first started promoting this convention of the states. It was endorsed by ALEC, who's supposed to be, of course, a conservative NGO. And then now we have kind of they've done a flip-flop where ALEC is kind of promoting this convention of states concept, and, you know, then they go ahead and endorse it. So, I mean, the very foundation, the very history of this movement just leads one to question their motives and credibility on this.
Right, right. Well, you know, I'm so glad that the two of you have gotten together to do something like this, and I trust a more grassroots-type organization that's not huge, that doesn't have the big money behind it. So, folks, check it out at www.defendnotamend.com. DefendNotAmend, defendnotamend.com. On this website, you're going to see all sorts of things going on. Who wants to defend, who wants to amend, and the different political propaganda and who's promoting what, and different, I guess your plan to save the Republic. And allowing you to also join the coalition. So this is something that you can, you know, be a part of and join, and in your hometown, wherever you are, they'll get you active, and you can be a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem.
Yeah, and if we don't have, we will have a list of the Colorado legislators that are supporting this, and you need to contact your legislator there in Colorado and find out whether they do support it or not, and find out whether they're a member of ALEC. ALEC is what I call a captive lobbying group, and they've set up their organization in such a way as to avoid the lobbying laws, and then, you know, like 95%+ of their money comes from big corporations and foundations, and I think even Scientology is a member of that organization. But then what they do is they allow the legislators, state legislators, to come in, and they wine and dine them at great hotels and give them trips and this kind of stuff, and they actually give them what they call scholarships, so they pay their way. So they're getting to do things that a lot of these state guys wouldn't want to do or couldn't do anyway. And right now they have something like 3,000 to 3,200 state legislators. And, you know, one of the things that they do is they all get together and they have their corporate lobbyists and their corporate attorneys, and they're coming in providing these legislators with this proposed legislation, and then they all talk about it and have a vote on it, and then these legislators are supposed to go back home and promote it like it was their legislation. And that's what's going on. So if they're a member of ALEC, that's suspicious, frankly. Something needs to be done about an organization like that, because it's been formed and set up in such a way to get around the lobbying laws so that we don't know that our legislators are being lobbied. And so that's one thing that we need to look at. This is not and has never been a grassroots movement. It has always been driven by big foundations, big corporations, big money interests. That's who's behind it. They're trying to make it look like a grassroots organization, but the reality is it's not. And we need to be mad as hell about our legislators taking this model legislation from ALEC and these corporations and then trying to shove it down our throat like it's something we want. I have not found one person in the state of Kansas before this year that has ever asked a legislator to initiate a process to change the Constitution. I just don't find any of them. It's all being done by ALEC and other organizations that are going to them and lobbying them to do it. It's not a grassroots movement.
Right. Well, yeah, of course they want to promote it as if it is, to gain people, you know, like ourselves, to support it and defend it and, you know, talk about it and join forces with them. But we need to be awake and we need to be aware of what's really, really going on out there. And it's kind of like, to me, anything that you see the big money behind, that's the way to not go. like global warming. That totally drives me crazy. It drives me insane that, all their scientific models don't even line up with, the theory, and yet they want to force legislation and taxation and all kinds of, it's a huge power grab, and they just don't have the scientific evidence to support it, and that drives me insane. But the money's behind it.
Let me tell you, Lisa, the people in the 80s, the Rockefeller Foundation got behind this as well. And the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation worked together. Ford Foundation is a major proponent of sustainable development, as is the Rockefeller Foundation. And, I mean, it's not just trying to amend our Constitution. They're using this political theory of sustainable development, which is wrapped around the environmentalism, to try to take away our rights and our property interests and control over every aspect of our lives. And and it's not a conspiracy theory. All you got to do is go out there and look. They're not trying to hide it from anybody.
And isn't that the point of regionalism as well? Regionalism, that's their whole plan in that.
Well, yeah, the regionalism, it's just like the... Yeah.
Richard, I'm sorry. Could you actually call, hang up and call back in, because your voice is coming in very, very garbled.
Okay, I will do that.
I'm missing in on some of the things you're saying, because it's not clear.
How is that any better?
Keep talking. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've been hearing him fine, but maybe it's on – go ahead, Richard, and just keep saying what you were saying, and then Lisa, let him know.
Oh, he dropped. He's going to call back in.
Oh, did he? Okay.
It was actually quite bad.
But really? Okay, good. Well, good. We don't want – yeah, that's okay. That's better to fix it. Yeah, and Tom DeWeese is one of the national guys that fights against Agenda 21 and – the whole sustainable development stuff. And he is on board as one of our partners on our website as well because he understands what Richard was just explaining. I mean, Tom DeWeese has been fighting against that whole effort for, decades. So, it's
right.
We have him on board as a partner because he understands, like Richard just said, that this is not just about amending the Constitution. There's a bigger, deeper picture here. And any of these NGOs and private public partners with so-and-so, I mean, that's just how they always hide all this stuff, and we all know that. I mean, anybody that's been paying attention to Agenda 21 battles across the nation, which is, a lot of the Tea Party groups and a lot of liberty groups, they understand that that's how they hide all this.
Right.
Okay, I'm back on. Is that any better?
Yes.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Yes. Also, I wanted to introduce into the conversation a good friend of mine and, actually my best friend, Austin Thomas. He's also a co-host with me on Guerrilla Radio on Wednesdays, and he's pretty knowledgeable on a lot of things going on out there as well. And so an introduction for Austin Thomas. Austin, are you there?
Oh, yes. There's Liberty Lisa. And I want to give a shout out to Judy Spady and Richard Fry. You guys are both like right on point. You guys really are. What's going on? I mean with this global warming or climate change, which is tied into this Agenda 21 nonsense. And you're right; it's all about control. They wrap it in these beautiful flowery phrases, sustainability, which means control. We're all going to work on the sustainability together, which means controlling everybody. I mean, they use all these nice sounding terms, but they're really, it's all about tyranny and control. I mean,
yeah.
Come on, this carbon taxing, these carbon credits, tax, that's more control.
What do you think about the amending of the Constitution, Austin? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't trust anybody amending the Constitution, especially the 535 clowns that we've got in office right now. I don't trust any of them as far as I can throw them, and that's not very far. I don't want anyone monkeying with the Constitution. I mean, well, Lisa knows that, I'm not a big government fan by any means in any stretch of the imagination, but a real representative republic like we're supposed to have is the least of the evils in any form of government. I really don't like any kind of government at all, but that's another story. I think we need to strip away all this nonsense, all these statutes, because they're not laws, they're statutes that are here to bind us, because anything that's against the Constitution cannot be a law. Statutes like the Patriot Act, because
yeah.
It can't
okay,
be a law.
Okay.
It's against the Fourth Amendment.
I'm sorry, Judy, what were you saying?
I didn't want to cut Austin off because he's making some great points there, but I was just going to say Richard has some great insight on exactly what Austin's saying as well. Richard also is a constitutional attorney, but he's, one fighting for liberty instead of the ones that are trying to destroy the republic. But Richard can explain quite a bit of what he feels and as far as unconstitutional laws.
Yeah, I mean that gets to the issue of the nullification that's going on out there, and there's a lot of, frankly, nonsense about state nullification, which there is no such thing. And the reason for that is exactly what Austin just said. If you go to Article 6, Section 3 of the Constitution, you'll see that any law, or I'm sorry, it's 2, any law that is not in pursuance to the Constitution is not a law at all. And we have, you know, 200 years of cases on that as well. And so it never becomes law. It's not enforceable. It doesn't give any privilege or right. It doesn't set up any crime. It's not enforceable. And the real problem is that what we have is the states, you know, all their officers, the legislative, executive, and judicial officers, have taken an oath to protect the Constitution, also in Article 6, Clause 3. And that's no coincidence that those two things are together. And, you know, under their oath of office, they are not allowed to propose, to support, to vote for or enforce any unconstitutional enactment, and yet they do it. And it also violates their duty under allegiance and protection, which is an inherent sovereign principle that all the states are under to protect the rights of their citizens. So it violates both of them when they do this. So you have state sovereignty people that are saying that we have to go to our state governments and ask them to nullify federal law. Well, that's nonsense. There is no authority for the states to do that. And if there were, there wouldn't be anything to nullify because unconstitutional enactment never becomes the law. But what their duty is, it's not a discretionary duty to nullify something. It's an absolute, unqualified duty to not enforce or support in any manner any unconstitutional enactment. And so people have got to get that straight. We don't need to be going on bent knee asking our state legislators not to go along with the federal government. We need to be going up there with our banners and our sticks and telling them that they need to fulfill their oath to protect and stand against it, because that's their duty. And they need to do it even if we don't ask them, because it's an absolute duty on the part of the state.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I agree with you 100%. And it's just you know, something that I'm fighting against directly myself. You know, here I am in the state of Colorado, where lawyers came up with this law 3838101, which makes, you know, foreclosures unconstitutional. It completely eliminates due process for the homeowner. We have less rights as a homeowner here in Colorado than a tenant has.
Well, yeah, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, the problem is we continue to allow this government, this lawless government, go on, and it's like, you know, the hyenas come in to feed, you know. And so now you've got these corporations and these other interests coming in, having these unconstitutional laws passed so they can, you know, feed on our corpse is what they're doing. And it's just got to stop. It's just, you know, there's a feeding frenzy going on out there among the bankers and the industrialists and the government to see how far they can squeeze us. And we have just got to stand up and take back control. That's what's got to happen.
Judy, are you hearing Richard being garbled, or is it just me?
Yeah, I hear him crystal clear.
You
Austin,
do.
Maybe you can
okay.
ask Austin, but I hear him just fine. And I've been on another radio show with him where it was difficult, but this one seems clear to me. But
do you want me to call back in?
I hear him loud and clear too, Lisa. I mean, we've been known, I mean, when we were on the other network, that to actually possibly have letterbox agencies messing with us. That's been known to happen with Lisa and I before, and that could possibly be something going on too. And if they are listening,
okay.
NSA, FBI, whoever, I just want to say hi.
Well, you know, it could be just basically my phone and the way it's coming in through my phone, because, we have had problems. We've had problems to where I was booted off the show, and I couldn't call back in. And then I literally couldn't call anyone from my phone who was a political activist. Nobody. But everybody that was asleep and didn't know what was going on, I could call them. It was the weirdest thing ever. And this happened for several hours.
Yeah, I think on Blog Talk Radio, I've been on several other shows that have had weird situations in that, not weird, but just like certain situations like that as well, where like all of a sudden the whole thing will just go down when it comes to a point in the conversation. So I'm sure they are watching the Blog Talk Radios because they know most Liberty stations are, you know,
right,
using it.
Hey, Richard, can I say something real quick? I hate when you call these laws, because anything that is against the Constitution can't be a law. We can call them statutes. We can call them acts. But I hate when that makes me cringe when I hear that word law, because they're not laws.
Austin, you make a great point, and that's you're absolutely correct. I don't call them a law. I call them unconstitutional enactments. Because you don't, in fact, it's an oxymoron. A law is something that is lawful, and these are not lawful. So they are certainly enactments, but they are not lawful enactments. So that's
right.
A great point. And we need to change the way that we think about this stuff, and we need to change the way we talk about it, because, you know, we lose half the fight because we're using their terminology and their concepts. And so we got to stop doing that. We got to start being more precise and accurate. One thing I did want to bring up, too, though, is the kind of deception that they have going on, these people that are promoting this Article 5, and they want to keep telling everybody this isn't a con-con, it's simply a convention of states or an amendments convention, and it's going to be limited and all this stuff. So I wanted to try to clarify that. Technically, a constitutional convention, that's a term of art, and what it is, convention that is called into being to write a constitution. So technically they're correct that this is not, you know, an Article 5 convention is not technically a constitutional convention, but it really is a distinction without a difference, because when you make an amendment can be the change of one comma in the Constitution, or it could be the change of everything but one comma in the Constitution. And so, again, it's just a distinction without a difference. You could rewrite the Constitution under an amendments convention the same as you could write a brand new one under a constitutional convention. And then they want to bring in this terminology, convention of states. That's a marketing ploy that was started in the 90s. Was started by the liberal equivalent to ALEC that started it. It is not a convention of states, which is a term of art as well, which means a convention that has been called together by a state. And then the states, some or all of the states, will attend. The states may send representatives to this Article 5 convention, but it's not theirs. They don't call it. Article 5 is clear. Congress has to call it. And, you know, they're doing, it's linguistic manipulation that they're doing, just exactly what Austin just talked about. It's linguistic manipulation, and we got to stop allowing them to do that for that reason. They're trying to suggest that the states somehow have control over this when they don't. Another thing that they're trying to do that's very deceptive, and our Secretary of State, who's behind this 100%, he's really pushing it hard and heavy. And they're catching some flack here in Kansas, so now he's going to start promoting an alternative. And what the alternative is, and of course this isn't his idea, this is Alec's idea and those folks, they're going to try to do a interstate compact through Article 1, Section 10, and have states get together and agree on exactly what amendments and the language on the amendments ahead of time. But it's nonsense from two standpoints. One of them is, that, you know, they keep saying, well, we've got to do this because Congress will never control its own power. Well, under Article 1, Section 10, Congress has to approve any compact or agreement the states make that has any impact on federal authority. Well, Article 5 convention is federal authority. It's a national convention. So, number one, Congress had to have to approve it. And number two, Congress can't approve that, because the convention is a deliberative body. Its very purpose, it's like Congress, it's like the Senate or the House. The very purpose is to get together to discuss to rehash, to look at, to examine, to get evidence, and then to together deliberate and come to a consensus on what needs to be done. You cannot have a consensus if every senator is told exactly how they have to vote and what they can vote on and what they can't. It completely undermines the whole purpose of an Article 5 convention and having a deliberative body. And in fact, what they're doing is the same kind of nonsense that we saw, like with Obamacare, where they change the rules or they do end runs around the rules to manipulate the system to get what they want. And that's what these people are proposing. And they're saying, oh, you know, we're conservatives and we're, you know, nice folks. They're not. They're trying to manipulate the system. They're trying to do things that are not appropriate to get, you know, the end justifies the means with these folks. And we got to understand that. They are not, they do not have our best interests at heart.
Hell no. I don't trust any of these guys, even messing with, like you said, I don't even trust them putting an extra period or a comma in the Constitution. I don't trust anything that they're about in this Article 5 nonsense at all.
Well, they're trying to say, you know what they try to say, well, it's a limited convention. But, like, if you go to the handbook, the Convention of States Handbook for Legislators and Citizens, I think it's 2013 edition, their model application asks for a convention for the sole purpose, which is, again, linguistic manipulation, and they list three things. One of them is to restrict the federal government financially. To the third one is to change the term limits of the federal government. And then the second one is to limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government. And what they're trying to do is by using that term solely to and the three different items that they talk about is to make you think it's limited. But the reality of it is, I mean, what is the Constitution? What's the entire purpose of the Constitution? It's to establish the jurisdiction and power of the federal government. So when they call for a convention
the Constitution, everyone thinks the Constitution gives you rights. You already have those rights. The reason we have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights is to limit federal government, to limit
government. Yeah, and that's another linguistic game that's been played on the American people, and they're dumbing down, and they believe they get constitutional rights. You're absolutely right. The only thing it does is to set the parameters for the federal government, and it's just like this. I mean, if you have a stop sign, this is what these people are proposing. If you have a stop sign and the drivers are running the stop sign, they think that what they're telling us is we just need to go out there and put a new stop sign in. So the stop sign is like the Constitution. The drivers that are violating it, that's Congress, that's the federal government and the state governments. And so they say, oh, don't worry about it, we'll just put up a new stop sign. And does anybody think if you just put up a new stop sign, all of a sudden Congress is going to obey the Constitution, the new Constitution? I mean, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Right.
You have to suspend reality to even believe that.
Well, you have to suspend reality to buy anything they're selling.
Well, that's true. But unfortunately, we have a lot of our fellow citizens that are buying into this, you know, through ignorance or desperation, or they want to be a part of something, or whatever the game is. But, you know, we've got to get off our butts. We've got to be educated ourselves. The founders, they created a participatory government, and we citizens were part of that. You know, the states, the central government, and the citizens are all part of that federal government. The central government's not a part of the states. The state is a part of the federal government. And the founders told us, and you can look in the Federalist Papers, 28 in particular, that the way that the federal government was going to be, or the, not the federal government, the general government in D.C. would be contained, would be the citizens working together with the citizens, would contain the federal government. The citizens have stopped participating in that. And now the state governments and the federal government are in cahoots to rob us of our money, to control us, to control our liberties until we are slaves, and just simply take advantage of us. We got to get them under control. And that's why I say the first step is to get the state governments under control. We'll never be able to get the federal
governed under control
right.
without the states. So that's what I say. And that's why I push for the referendum, the initiative, and the recall to be a start on that program to get the states back under control.
Agreed.
Awesome point.
Agreed.
And so, and what are they going to say? What are they going to say when we ask them, when we tell them, we want you to change the Constitution, state Constitution, to give us a right to recall your butt? What are they going to say? Well, you guys don't have enough sense to do that. You know, how dare you think you can recall me? I mean, there's not a good argument they can publicly make to fight that. And so I think we may be very successful with that.
And does anybody know, Richard, or anybody, does anybody know the history of when, because there's only 9 states that can do recalls. When did the states lose that right to recall? Like, what's the history behind that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's a good question. I really don't know. I've started doing some research along those lines probably about 2 years ago. And, in fact, I had asked our Secretary of State when he was running for office, Chris Kobach, if he would support initiatives and referendums, and he said he would. And, of course, he hasn't done a darn thing on it, hasn't even talked about it. And they don't because they don't want to be in, us to be in control of the law. But that's a very good question. And I'm not as concerned about what happened to it is how soon we can get it back in place.
Well,
I
could tell you this. I've tried to deal with, I call him Senator Dick Reed here, and I've tried to deal with our wonderful governor here in Nevada, Mr. Sandoval, and they're the crooks among crooks. I've emailed them, I've sent them facts, I've called. They don't want anything to do with me.
Well, you're just you're a serf. You know, you're below them. So, and we've had. Our congressman, which we worked to get rid of and did get rid of in 2010, his name was Dennis Moore, he actually told some of us that. You know, he said, well, do you have a degree in economics? Well, you're not smart enough to understand any of this. I mean, they're arrogant, they're pompous, they're greedy, they're condescending, and, you know, it's just got to stop. We've got to stand up and quit. I got an email the other a couple of weeks ago, and the guy said, you know, we need more forthrightness and less politeness. And I agree. I mean, you go in there and be nice. We are the boss. You ask them nicely. If they blow you off, if they're condescending, then you turn up the heat. And at some point, you got to get in their face. I mean, if you run a business and you have an employee that doesn't want to do their job, at some point, you got to kick their butt out.
Right, exactly.
And that's not impolite. That's common sense. And, in fact, we have a moral duty to do that. We have an absolute moral and patriotic duty to get in their face when they need it. And believe me, they never needed it more than they need it right now.
Yep.
I mean, they,
well,
they've passed this.
I mean, we've got an out-of-control federal government, and the states, you know, are just trying to get the money from the federal government. So they're little puppets. They're becoming little puppets, too, and it's got to stop now. I mean, the states were set up by the Constitution to have the power. We need to get it back there and get it back there quick. So I love the idea of empowering the states once again.
Well, and this has been going on. You know, we talked about the fact that before 1908, all the states had a state militia, a governmental militia that was under the strict control and supervision of the government, which is what the militia mentioned in the Constitution is. And over 1903 to 1908, the federal government started paying the states to convert their state governmental militias into a standing army. And so what we have now, the National Guard, and there's a 1983 Senate report on this, and they're very frank about it. What we have now in the National Guard is an Article I standing army that the states subsidize for the federal government. That's what it is. And we need to do, and they did it by money. They did it by money. They bribed the states back in 1903 through 1908 or so to do that. They gave them the federal money. They took the money. They took the bait and done away with their militias. And now we have standing armies, which is something that the founders was absolutely against. And in fact, the states were required to maintain their militias both under allegiance and protection and under the Constitution, to serve as a counterbalance against the federal, the general government's standing army. And that counterbalance is gone.
Well, some of us, Mr. Fry, actually believe that a militia is actually, you could be your own militia, and we take the Second Amendment to the nth degree, that we don't want any control from the state. We are independent, and we can have our own independent militia, and we have our right to bear arms. And that shall not be infringed.
And I know that some people believe that, but there's no historical basis or legal basis for it. If you look at the research that Dr. Vieira has done on this, he's got a treatise that he just finished last year. It's like 2,304 pages long. And he goes through all the laws of the colonial period in the early states, pre-America, if you will, pre-independence. And that's not the case. That was never the case. It wasn't the case in Europe. The militias were always a government.
I'm talking about the Constitution here that was drawn up. The way I look at it is if myself and say my neighbor Bob, we get together, we can form a militia. There's nothing stated in there how many people have to be in the militia.
Well, but the militia is a term of art that has a particular meaning. And what you're talking about is, I don't know what you call it, but it's not a militia. You can call it whatever you want to. It's technically not a militia. And the term is being abused by the government and the FBI to try to malign the meaning of that. And I'll tell you something else. If they go through with this CONCON stuff, the rights that are referred to in the Second Amendment are going to be on the block, and they may even do away with our right. We have a right to a militia now. They could do away with that right. I mean, we have a right to demand that our states reconstitute the state militias. But if they change that under a CONCON, then what basis are you going to have to do that? Now, it may be a natural right that they don't have the authority to do away with, but we have a hard enough time getting people to enforce the Constitution, let alone enforce fundamental rights that aren't even referred to in the Constitution. So
right.
I was having that debate with somebody today too, and trying to explain that same thing that you just said, Richard, because it's hard enough right now. We have a rule of law. If it was enforced, it would work. We have a rule of law that works. But imagine if they did this Article 5 convention and all of a sudden they throw the whole thing out, or most of it out, or change it so much that it doesn't protect our God-given rights, then how are you going to – I mean, we can't even get them to stick to the rule of law now, which the government was set up to for the sole purpose to protect our God-given rights that were defined in the Declaration. And
absolutely.
So if all of a sudden they change it and they make it to where it's more flexible and not as stringent and limited on the government, holy cow.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it makes it so much harder because you lose at least the perception of the moral high ground.
Well,
I mean,
On that note, guys, we need to go to a quick commercial break. So thank you so much for joining us today on the Truth Train. We've got special guests Judy Pursley Spady and also Richard Fry, both liberty activists who are here to defend, not amend, the Constitution. Hold on for about 5 minutes. We'll be back from commercial break.
I have a few questions for my colleagues. What if our foreign policy of the past century is deeply flawed and has not served our national security interests? What if we wake up one day and realize that the terrorist threat is a predictable consequence of our meddling in the affairs of others and has nothing to do with us being free and prosperous? What if propping up repressive regimes in the Middle East endangers both the United States and Israel? What if occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan and bombing Pakistan is directly related to the hatred directed toward us? What if someday it dawns on us that losing over 5,000 American military personnel in the Middle East since 9/11 is not a fair trade-off for the loss of nearly 3,000 American citizens, no matter how many Iraqi, Pakistani, and Afghan people are killed or displaced? What if we finally decide that torture, even if called enhanced interrogation technique, is self-destructive and produces no useful information, and that contracting it out to a third world nation is just as evil? What if it is finally realized that war and military spending is always destructive to the economy? What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing? What if we finally see that wartime conditions always undermine personal liberty? What if conservatives who preach small government wake up and realize that our interventionist foreign policy provides the greatest incentive to expand the government? What if conservatives understood once again that their only logical position is to reject military intervention in managing an empire throughout the world? What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if Obama has no intention of leaving Iraq? What if a military draft is being planned for the war that will spread if our foreign policy is not changed? What if the American people learn the truth, that our foreign policy has nothing to do with national security, that it never changes from one administration to the next? What if war and preparation for war is a racket serving the special interests? What if President Obama is completely wrong about Afghanistan and turns out worse than Iraq and Vietnam put together? What if diplomacy is found to be superior to bombs and bribes in protecting America? What happens if my concerns are completely unfounded? Nothing. But what happens if my concerns are justified and ignored? Nothing good.
All systems go!
Truth Emerges Radio Network and NWO Truth Radio proudly present the Friday Night Super Show. Hosted by Dennis Ford from the Friday Night Show on NWO Truth Radio and The Mouth from The Last Voice for Liberty. Broadcasting live across dual networks for a cross-promotional show of epic proportion. Tune in live Friday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. For the most groundbreaking show on the web, the Friday Night Super Show, presented by Truth Emerges Radio Network and NWO Truth Radio. You are awake. Now, be aware.
Everybody here wants the pie. We want to grow the pie, and then we want to fight for the pie. So, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
We are Americans.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, we are free at last!
Einstein, she's already ready to rally against the guns.
Well, you're set up for failure, but it doesn't mean you have to fail.
A disarmed our nation is ready for tyranny. What about the over 2 million crimes that were prevented by people being armed. This is a representative republic. Democracy is frickin' mob rules. That's what true democracy is, it's mob rules.
It's just like a matter of, you know, you gotta be careful of who you listen to and whose input you take, and it's all fun and games.
One and only original Gorilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
You took an oath to uphold the Constitution, not to uphold gangster banksters and a bunch of tyrannous political puppets.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Wow. Where's Liberty Lisa?
Is Liberty Lisa there?
Where's Liberty Lisa? Oh my! Well, I'm here.
I guess it's our show. It's our show now, I guess.
Well, it's always
we've
been
had a
you
coup.
Guys' show. It's always been your show. You guys are right on point. I'm very proud to know and be. See, you know, fighting along with patriots like you guys. You guys are true patriots.
Well, I really appreciate it. But, you know, it's our duty to do that, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to make people understand that it is their duty. The problem we have with Congress and our politicians is that they have this sense of group responsibility. And if you have group responsibility, there is no responsibility. And it's the same way with the citizens. They think, you know, they have this sense of responsibility as we, the people, as a group of citizens. And there is no group responsibility. It's each of us have an individual moral and patriotic duty to stand up and participate and do what we can and not look behind us and say, is anybody behind me?
Right.
We don't get held accountable for what somebody else does or doesn't do. We only get held accountable for what we do. And so we need to understand that. We need to take personal responsibility for this government.
Yes. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now, Lisa.
Okay. You know, that's so weird. I don't know what is happening on the show, but welcome back. This is the Truth Train with Liberty Lisa. We've got a fantastic show. I'm loving it. With special guest Richard Fry and also Judy Pursley Spady. And we're discussing the Article 5 conventions and defending rather than amending the Constitution. Defending the Constitution is truly a grassroots effort versus amending it is really the goal of big government. It's a slippery slope. And we really don't need
Amen.
To go down that road. Be aware. Be awake. You know
awake,
what's going on
aware.
Around you. Right. Know what's going on around you. Know that the big interests and the big money and the big companies and the big corporations are putting money into things like amending the Constitution. That is not obviously going to be in our favor. So always follow the little guy. Always follow the grassroots movement, and that'll keep you safe. So we're back on the show. Welcome again, Judy and Richard. Really, really enjoying this. So we're on the second half of the show now. We had talked earlier about the overall violations of the Constitution, and that we should be
following that first before we talk about changing and amending it.
You know what I think gets lost in everything, and again, you know, this is maybe the anarchist in me, but I'm going to quote my someone that I respect immensely, Rose Larkin. Where in the hell are we going that we need to follow leaders? Where are we going? These people are supposed to represent us. This is a representative republic. We're not supposed to be kowtowing and bowing to these guys. They're supposed to be paying homage to us, we the people. When did this shit get all twisted and turned that it turns around the other way?
Yeah, I think part of it is that they've slowly indoctrinated people to come to a belief that the government, it was a good deal for the government to give them something. I mean, nothing's for free, and really what you're paying is you're paying your liberty. And that's, you know, people have developed this idea that that's what the government's for, is to take care of us. And they're not to take care of us. They're to secure our liberty, and they're not to protect us. That's our job, to protect us. And we've got to get out of this crazy mindset, or we're just going to continue on this decline.
And that's the problem with this Article 5. You know, the pushers of the Article 5 or Convention of States or whatever they want to call it, that's the problem with it, is that they want to make – they're trying to make people believe that we're not the problem, that it's all the fault of the politicians, and there's no ownership in it at all, and there's no patriotic duty understood. There's no understanding of what the founders gave us. It's just, let's just, blame the politicians and see if we can figure out some wild goose chase to amend the Constitution, which will get us nowhere.
And Judy, you're absolutely right. And what I say is, the country, our country is based on Judeo-Christian principles. And you can't dispute that. Whether you believe in God or not, or you're a Hinduist or whatever, that's what the country's founded on. One of those responsibilities or one of those principles is self-responsibility. The government is our servant. We're the master. In law, we call it a master-servant relationship. It's our job, our duty, to keep the servant in line, to tell them what to do, what not to do, and make sure they follow through. And we're not doing that. And what these guys are saying, these promoters of an Article 5, they're saying it's not the servant's fault they're gone astray. You know, it's like little kids. You know, when little kids start going astray and tearing up stuff, is it the kid's fault? Well, maybe, but it's more the parent's fault. They're supposed to keep them in line. And they're trying to say, it's not your fault. It's a little kid's fault. It's the government's fault. And don't worry about getting your hands dirty and taking your butt off the couch from watching TV to take care of it, because we're going to take care of it for you. We're going to have a convention in the States, and we're going to take care of the problem for you. It's not your fault. Don't feel bad. You know, it's like this, you know, the idea that we have in schools where everybody, nobody makes an F. There's nothing, that homework is never late. Everybody gets a trophy that they run in a track meet. And it's the same kind of nonsense. We got to stop it and take responsibility and understand it's not going to get fixed until we make the personal commitment to do it.
What it reminds me of is I went on a date, several years back with a police officer. Yes, I did. And anyway, he said he was pretty open-minded, and I thought, what the heck, I'll just go on this date. So we got into a conversation about the Constitution. He said that he felt it was outdated. I said, really? It's outdated. Which part specifically is outdated? He didn't know. He didn't know
the
that.
Liberty
he
part.
Didn't know 10 words. Yeah, the liberty,
the liberty part.
Exactly.
He didn't
know anything about it.
Let's look at that a little bit. The inherent sovereign principle of allegiance and protection has been around for thousands of years. If you go to your Bible and you look in Acts 16, 22, and 23, you'll find that the Apostle Paul invoked allegiance and protection at least 3 times to save his life. He said, wait a minute, you guys, I'm a citizen of Rome. You better be careful what you do to me, because you'll answer to Rome. That's what allegiance and protection is. So that's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and now in the last 80 years,
somebody's come up with the attitude that it's obsolete and out of date. That's absurd. That's absurd.
Right. Well, this all reminds me of a famous quote from Benjamin Franklin. When someone asked him at the end of the Constitutional Convention of 1787, someone asked him, "Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy?" And then Ben Franklin, he said, "A republic, if you can keep it." So way back in the day, at the very beginning, our founding fathers were so knowledgeable and so wise. They knew they gave us a republic, and this was foreshadowing. You've got a republic, you can keep it. It's our duty, our responsibility to keep this republic.
Well, yeah, and it's not only our patriotic duty. If you're like me, and you're like most of the founders, and believe that God had His hand in making this country, and think about it, we've had the greatest liberty of any peoples in the history of mankind, and until recently, we've been the most prosperous people of history of mankind. I believe was a gift and grace of God, and if we do not I think we have a moral duty to honor and respect His gifts to us by protecting them. And that's what we're failing in that as well. And that's what the founder said. The Constitution was made for a moral people, and we have lost our faith in God. We've lost our courage to stand up for what is right and put our faith in what He will do. And so now we put our faith in men who are corrupt and corruptible, and we get what we got.
What you reap is what you sow.
But and then they want to tell us, "Oh, don't worry about it."
We've truly fallen away from God. And, I understand that not everybody is a Christian, but we were founded on Christian principles and the Ten Commandments. And you know what? Those are basic commandments. Those are basic, moral code that everyone can agree to. And this country was a great country, and we had, a good system set up. The Constitution in itself may have some flaws in it, but it is certainly been the best system of freedom, that I know of in a long time. And like you said, we were extremely prosperous. And extremely successful, and led all nations. And now look at us. We're starting a trail on everything.
Well, and think about this. It's just like I said, we were founded on Judeo-Christian principles. The Supreme Court wants to get us further and further. Not only because it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. The principles work, and they're good, and the founders wanted them, they adopted them. Whether or not they believe they come from God, which I believe they did, doesn't matter. Those are the principles. But now what the Supreme Court and the government wants to say is, since those are based upon have a religious basis, then we got to get away from them. They no longer apply. They do apply. It doesn't matter whether there's a God or not. I believe there's a God, and I believe we owe Him respect and worship and everything else. But it doesn't matter. Everybody has to follow that foundation that we have, and it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. But they want to, there's people out there that say, no, we want to get away from that. And in fact, that is one of the foundation principles behind sustainable development that most people don't understand. If you really research it and look at its foundation, it's getting away from Judeo-Christian principles. It's a antithesis to those principles. So, we got to stick to those sayings. I don't care if you believe in God or not. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with, are we going to follow the rule of law? And that is a foundation for our rule of law and our orderly society.
Yeah. Well, it certainly worked before, and it can work again if we actually just get back to, the foundation of things where we are, respecting the rule of law, as you say, and, promoting businesses and everything inside of America, and instead of signing free trade agreements and everything else, and, not the taxation and the interest and the Federal Reserve and all these other things. Just,
I mean, it's just been a purposeful destruction of the American economy, I think, over the course of the last 50 years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the creation of the Federal Reserve System was the biggest hoax and scam ever perpetrated on a peoples in the history of mankind. They have robbed us blind. We would be living like kings had it not been for the Federal Reserve milking us. And what is the only reason we have a semblance of the lifestyle that we do is because of efficiencies in production and things like that that have kind of mitigated against the robbery that we have. But, I mean, the devaluation of our money, you know, people talk about inflation. There isn't any inflation here. It's the devaluation of our money. And so you're going to have the same people. I mean, the Federal Reserve System was put into place basically by J.P. Morgan, Rockefellers, and those folks at Carnegie. And they're the same folks that really are behind this as well, some of the same organizations. They have never done anything out of patriotic duty and responsibility. They do it for self-interest. They didn't put the Federal Reserve in there to serve us, and they're not going to amend the Constitution to serve us.
Correct. Hey, you guys, we've Richard and Judy and Austin, we've got some callers that would like to join in the conversation. Would you mind if we brought some callers in?
Oh, we'd love it.
All right. So 229, you're on.
Hey, guys, it's David. I'm just calling in. Appreciate the call you guys are doing tonight. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. How are you?
How you doing? Good. The thing that's being said over and over here tonight, which I really appreciate, is the whole idea we've got to get the people of this country to wake up. You know, as soon as we can get individual Americans to understand what's going on, and the sooner we do that, the sooner we're going to have the ability to fix these problems. And today here in Florida, the Senate Judiciary Committee, by a 7-2 vote, aligned with the convention of the states application, and you know, it's pretty sad because these people are just kind of walking in lockstep to the way things are being rolled out by the powers that be, and it's going to take a massive movement of the people to start waking up and understand what's going on. Appreciate the efforts of the conversation tonight, and we just got to keep getting the word out every way we can.
Excellent. And thank you so much for joining in the conversation today. And 970, you're on.
Yes, this is Dan from Bayfield, saying hi to Judy and Richard, and to you, Lisa. Appreciate the call. And just going back to the conversation you guys were having a few minutes ago, you know, this country being founded on Christian Judeo beliefs, you know, the there's a lot of people that just don't want to hear that anymore. And the problem with that is that it puts restraints on people's personal responsibility. They want to be free to act as they want to act. And if you've been following the news recently, for instance, this young man that plays college football came out as a homosexual, and a lot of the conversation has been about that, and I personally listen to a lot of sports radio, and they just really were bombarding the airwaves with a lot of that information, and it's like they're really shoving it in our face that we have to respect that and to accept it, and I'm not trying to belittle this man or anything like that, but the point is that they're shoving that kind of immorality in our face, whether it's homosexuality or whatever, any kind of promiscuity, that we're supposed to accept all that, and it's just a total breakdown of our communities and of our nation. And
well, I mean, let's admit
changes,
it, I mean, Dan. If you look around and you look these Super Bowl, you know, halftime shows with Beyonce and all these other, you know, these award shows where they're actually doing devil worship type, you know,
fiascos at the theater, it's horrifying. And sex is being sold right and left in commercials and magazines and everything else, and these poor young kids who are developing early due to all these hormones and in the milk and everything. I mean, it to me, yes, there is a incrementalism that's being performed on America of ebbing away and chipping away at our moral values. A little more here, more there, a little this, little that, a little that. And I am a very loving and tolerant person, and if I don't believe in something, no one's going to feel like less of a person around me because I do believe in liberty and I do believe in love. But at the same time, it is very frightening to see, like I said, the chipping away at the moral values of society. And I do see the moral decay, and I think that is a part of the problem in seeing God being taken out of our schools and out of the Constitution, I'm sure, next. I mean, it's just going to be a godless nation. And you know what? We're being rewarded for that now. Because it's going down the drain hole. Our economy is crashing. Our jobs are overseas. There's a lot of suffering, and the government is certainly not the answer. 661, you wanted to join in the conversation?
Oh, sweetheart, you know I had to join in on the conversation. You know damn well who this is. This is your good buddy, the Mouth from the Last Voice for Liberty. How is everyone doing this evening?
Doing fine.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for calling in.
Well, honey, you know I had to chime in on this and the blasphemy that comes towards our Constitution from the Progressive Marxist Socialist Party is intolerable. And to be quite honest, it shouldn't be an issue that we have to discuss nowadays. Except our lovely federal government and the powers that be have decided to make this purposeful. That's why they continue to push degradation and segregation amongst the rest of us in humanity. That's why you have devil worship on stupid music awards, or the Grammys, or whatever the F it is. I don't care because I didn't watch it. That's why, you know, people don't have to watch the State of the Union address, because you know that he's lying about everything. We've been lied to for so long and brainwashed into thinking this is okay. And what I really came from listening to you guys' conversation tonight is that it's purposeful. They're trying to degrade society, drive us down to where we're almost slobbering Neanderthals again, drooling over in blood sacrifices and everything else, just so then they can sweep in and be the good guy. Because that's what they do. They create bad guys and then sweep in and go, look, we're the good guys. That's what the FBI does, what CIA does. That's what the war on terror is all based upon. So
yes.
Why wouldn't it stand to reason that they wouldn't do that to us?
And I would like to respond to that in a way that's that might shock a lot of your listeners, Lisa, or people that listen to this show, you know, through our, you know, whatever, through different websites. But I contend, I agree with the person that was just speaking there. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. The Mouse, I think it was, or something like that. But I totally agree with it. But what I'm going to say is I have, and this has been a difficult thing for me to understand and to accept. This is Judy again. But I woke up, I didn't know any of this stuff. I'm just a, you know, I'm a homeschool mom who, you know, woke up during the days of Bush and the bailouts, right? And then next thing you know, I was in Tea Party Patriots, and I was fighting in the Tea Party, and I was like, yeah, holy cow, this has got to stop, and the Tea Party movement can change this, you know? So I was like the Tea Party person. Well, then once I realized how bad the Tea Party movement had been co-opted by the arm of the Republican Party, I had to look hard in the mirror and literally say, wait a second, I've been had, you know, this isn't who I am. And it's tough to do that. It's really hard to say, I've wasted 2 or 3 years of my life fighting in something now to find out that I've been had the whole way along or that I've been manipulated, you know, and some people on this call who've spoken of know this about me. And so, but what I've really come to the realization of now is I think the whole Tea Party movement, I do think the original people that started the Tea Party movement were a bunch of Ron Paulers types who, and there's a video out there about how they started saying, hey, we got to fight back. And this is why I can't stand Mark Meckler, who's the Convention of the States guys, because at the beginning, I went to the very first Tea Party convention in Phoenix when they had the very first one, and we all walked in. None of us knew what we were doing. We were just there to fight back against the socialists. So we all walk into the convention, and the first thing they have at the very first general session is this huge screen that shows how the Tea Party started with a rant from Rick Santelli on the floor of the Chicago Exchange. So I, being naive, said to myself, oh, I wondered. I didn't know that's how the Tea Party started. Okay, and I believed that crap for years. Well, I found out later, no, that's not how it started. It was a bunch of average people that were like Ron Paul types who started it in 2006, long before Tea Party Patriots came into play. But Mark Meckler and Jenny Beth Martin had to start out their convention trying to convince people that it started, you know, in another way. And then, so I'm convinced now that most of these Tea Party groups have been, like, the whole thing was planned from the beginning for them to stop the rising up of the people, and they had to co-opt it and call it a Tea Party movement.
Yeah.
Very
controlled,
much so. They did the same thing with the Occupy movement.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with the Occupy movement,
yeah,
man, the, except for it was taken by the Democratic arm of the wing, bird of tyranny, to be quite honest. They were like, oh, well, you most identify with what we're trying. We'll be your buddies. Come on. And then that died out like, you know, nobody's business, just like the Tea Party had lost steam. They did it on purpose. They had to come out and co-opt these movements because they wanted them. Oh, number one, it's the flavor of the moment, and you know that these media whores cannot withstand not being on camera about whatever's popular at that moment in time. You know, we've got to be right on it. You know, our finger's on the pulse. They're full of crap. Because they were trying to co-opt it, and just like you said, stop us from uprising, stop us from learning the truth, stop us from spreading the message of the Constitution as it stands. This whole amending it crap, it's just what I pictured was going to happen. See, I talked about pushing for the amendment to the Constitution and pushing amending to the Constitution for a good couple of months for a very specific reason, because I knew that they were listening. And I knew that they would try and take it and run with it in the opposite direction. And that's exactly what they're getting ready to do. Anything that does not take away from governmental power is not worth amending the Constitution for.
I don't want it amended for anything. You know, it's like Austin said earlier. I don't want them to add a comma. I don't trust them to add a comma.
No, I want them to repeal some things. Exactly.
You know what? We are. How about this, Leap here? How about we follow the Constitution as it is and uphold it as the supreme law of the land first, and then talk about what's flawed in it? Because right now we can't talk about flaws if we're not even upholding it. We can't.
You're absolutely right, honey. You're absolutely right. But there is one amendment to the Constitution that does absolutely have to be repealed, and that's the 16th Amendment. It was never properly ratified, only ratified by 34 states. That is not a properly ratified amendment.
With all due respect,
you know what
David,
I'm talking about when I talk about the 16th Amendment.
This is David.
All right, well,
with all
Richard,
the 16th Amendment doesn't have to be repealed. It doesn't. It substantively doesn't do anything, but if I might make one more little comment, Lisa, one of the things that gives us power is knowledge. And there's a concept that we all need to understand that is going on with the Convention of the States, just like it has, as Richard mentioned, the Federal Reserve System was put in place using this tactic, and it's called a control fraud. A control fraud is when heads of state or corporate executives take a legitimate entity and they turn it into a weapon to defraud the people through color of law, pretense of authority, or financial means. And it is a tactic that's been used over and over again over the last 100 and some years to totally take away the power of the people and put us in a position where we get taken off of sync, we're taken off guard, we don't have the ability to respond because we don't understand what's being done. And we've got to somehow grab this idea and understand that's what's happening here. It's amazing that up until 6 months ago, who was talking about this, and now all of a sudden it's like the most important thing going on. You can certainly understand that if that's happening, it's because there are people with money, people with power, that are trying to manipulate them, and it's very important we understand that concept.
And David brings, this is Judy, and David brings up a great point there, which is why with Defend Not Amend, for anybody listening to this, with Defend Not Amend, we will have what we'll answer whatever questions, we'll debate different issues, whatever. But we will not, we refuse to get caught up in a bunch of the muddling of the waters that they're trying to do with this Article 5 push. They want people to be talking about things that don't even matter. They want people to be sitting around saying, well, who would choose the delegates and who, you know, and is it Congress that calls the convention or is it the states? And, you know, they want people to be arguing the wrong battles. We don't care. At Defend Not Amend, we stick to one thing, one purpose, one point, one focal point, which says none of it even matters. And Richard did a great job when he debated against the Convention of the States director in Kansas, and he did a great job of explaining, hey, we'll even go along with that. We'll concede. We'll say that, let's just say that everything you are trying to sell to the public is right. Say it's all right. Say that everything you're preaching to people works, all right? It's not going to matter anyhow because they're not going to stick to it. That's our focal point of Defend Not Amend. None of the other arguments matter. None of the other debates matter. None of the other lost in the woods, you know, wild goose chase things matter. The point is they'll never stick. They don't stick to the Constitution now. Whose fault is it? It's ours for allowing them to do that. And amending it and changing the wording of it isn't going to make them stick to it anymore. And I don't know if Richard has more to add to that.
No, absolutely. I agree 100%. Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head on that one.
Yeah.
By the way, Richard, I don't think that, you know, they can't figure out what it means anyway. They've been trying to twist the wording of it for, what, 100-some years now. That's why we have these constitutional interpreters, which is absolutely ridiculous to me. I don't see how you need to interpret English to friggin' English.
We have 200 years of case law on the Supreme Court that says that the Constitutional was written, the Constitution rather was written for the average person or the average voter. Any high school graduate should be able to read that Constitution and understand it. It may take a little bit of historical research because some of the terminology has changed. But by way of an example, I tell you, I've looked at the historical dictionaries, and what the Second Amendment says means it today exactly what it meant then. It means that the federal government has absolutely no authority whatsoever to in any manner, directly or indirectly, regulate the citizens' rights to keep and bear arms, and not just firearms, but any arms. And yet, the federal government has imposed mass regulation on the citizens since 1926, and the states have gone along with it. What's going to change? It doesn't. How are you going to rewrite the Second Amendment to be any clearer than it is? Shall not infringe. I mean, it's nonsense. We're dealing with ours and thieves.
In the case of Heller versus Washington, D.C., Judge, I can't even remember his name, but he, in his discernment, in their decision, he sat there and specifically, grammatically, took apart the Second Amendment and explained why it cannot mean anything else other than the way it was written. It can't. They've already done this in case law in the Supreme Court. How people can continue to have any type of debate over the Second Amendment when the Supreme Court's already grammatically taken it apart and said, no, it means what it says, and this is why.
But what's so crazy is the left, including my own representative in Colorado, lovely Mike McLaughlin, who we failed to recall. We were the only recall in Colorado that failed, thank goodness, or unfortunately, which I could explain why on that. But but the our representative, and I've heard that, I mean, Joe Biden and Bloomberg and all these guys, they all argue the same point against what you're saying, and they'll stand there and say to everybody in public that because of Heller decision and Marbury versus Madison, they'll stand there and say our rights are not absolute. So there has to be some, you know, some strict guidelines on the Second Amendment because our rights are not absolute. It's like, really?
Our rights are absolute as gifted by God. I don't care what the hell any of these.
And it boils down to that. I really believe it boils down to that. Do people like that that say our rights are not absolute do not understand that they're unalienable and God-given rights, period.
Inalienable. Thank you. And guys, we've got one of the callers had their hand up for about 5 minutes from Colorado, actually, 303. And so I just wanted to give you an opportunity to chime in. 303?
Hi, Lisa. Matthew Hess.
Oh, Matthew. So for those on the call who don't know who Matthew Hess is, go ahead and give a brief introduction about what you're all about and what you're doing here in Colorado. Okay.
Well, I know, Judy, we've talked in the past. I'm not familiar with the other voices on the call besides Lisa's, but my name is Matthew Hess. I'm running as a Libertarian for governor of Colorado. If I was to summarize myself in a single sentence, I would simply say that I'm just a regular guy and an anti-politician that's seeking to push the government out of the game and onto the sidelines.